Man, how powerful is this day? Isn't it exciting what God is up to? Been celebrating baptisms today, and man, just how exciting it is, and what a place to be in this moment of time to see God's hand move. And I don't know about you, I don't know how you ever feel like I do, and you know, I'm driving down the road, and my six-year-old son just starts really getting on my four-year-old daughter and making fun of her and stuff, and finally, I just screeched the brakes, and I said, I've had it! That's enough! Now I've told you not to talk to her like that. Do you hear me? Do you understand me? And this little six-year-old kid just looks at me and he goes, seriously, Dad, am I just an experiment gone wrong? And you know, sometimes I feel like an experiment that's gone wrong. You ever feel that way? I mean, all these incredible things that God has done for us. I mean, how many of you are saved? I mean, listen. I told the 9:30 service, I said, you know, to really understand the impact of that salvation, we ought to just have people stand up and share the sins they were forgiven for. Anybody want to go first? No. And man, it's incredible what God has done, though. And not just that He has saved us and forgiven us, which is incredible and stands alone, but He blesses our lives. Like He puts stuff on top of that. And we're just called to live for Him. How many do you remember? Every January we have Ministry Sunday. Remember, we have the ministry fair, and you walk up to the second floor and do all that. How many of you remember that? Raise your hand. All right, well, we found out everybody's just leaving and not going up to the second floor. So today's Ministry Sunday, we're going to do just a little bit different today. So you got a card, just hang on to that. I'll explain that in a minute. But let me tell you what I don't want. Because I'm going to ask you to fill out that card. I'm going to ask every person to fill out that card. But I do not want anybody to fill out that card because they feel guilty. Because if you feel guilty, you've got other issues you need to deal with. That's not why you serve. It's nowhere in the Bible that says, thou shalt be guilty and therefore serve. It doesn't say that. Serving is a privilege. It's a joy to serve. We're all supposed to serve. And so I'm going to preach like 4 or 5 minutes on being called to serve. But before that, I've got some other things to share. You really just two things today. And here's the very first thing, because I really want you to understand what drives our service to God. And that is the first thing. We are called to be children of God. Isn't that great? God just didn't save us so we would do something. But God saved us so that we would become something. And the most significant thing about you and about me is not what we do, but who we are. Isn't that great? Now that's a really good word right there. Very significant. It's not about what we do, but it's about who we are. That is the most important thing, that you and I, if you're a follower of Jesus, we belong to God. I mean, that's a pretty incredible thing. In Jewish culture, they believe that the first child belonged to God. And the rest of them belonged to the parents. And I tried to remind my sister of that growing up as the oldest child. She'd say, someone said, man, I remind you, little girl, I belong to God. You belong to them. All right? But guess what? So what would happen is Jewish parents, after so many days, the priest would come to their home. Not so many days, after some time. The priest would come to their home. And the parents could either redeem the child, which means purchase the child back for 5 shekels, or they could just let the priest take the child to the temple. Now, my mom and dad have reminded me that they wish they'd had that opportunity. And they'd have let me go to the temple to be gone. But you know what the good news is? We all belong to God. Even if you're the baby, or if you just act like the baby, doesn't matter. We all belong to God. And it's a powerful thing. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, you belong to God. Your life is not your own. You don't belong to yourself, but you belong to God. So the first thing is you are called to be a child of God. I want you to look with me in Philippians chapter 2. If this life is really about following Jesus, then Philippians chapter 2 has a lot to say to us. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi. It was a bunch of believers just like us. So I want us to hear this together. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, how many of you have encouragement from being united with Christ? Listen, I got a lot because I'm saved, and you know, things that folks have to worry about, I don't have to worry about anymore. You know what? I'm going to heaven. Now, I ran into a guy and we were talking and he didn't necessarily believe that. He believed you had to do a lot of good stuff. And, you know, that's just a conversation that's fun to get in with people. Of course, whenever you get into them, they think they're already so much smarter than you, which I'm sure he looked at me and thought he was so much smarter than me. And so I just said, well, how good do you have to be? I mean, you got to be pretty good. I said, does Webster help with that? I mean, can you look up pretty good? I mean, well, you know, how good do you have to be? And I said, because I'm not worried. I'm going to heaven. He goes, well, that's arrogant. I said, you think it's arrogant that I think I'm going to heaven because of God? But you don't think it's arrogant that you think you're so good you're going to get there on your own? Now, where's the arrogance? I know I don't have a prayer. I'm in God's hands. My mom reminds me of that all the time. I don't have a hope on my own. I'm in God's hands. But I don't have to worry about it because I'm in God's hands. So it's a powerful thing. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, how many of you have ever been comforted by the love of God? You know, it is pretty amazing to live your life as a follower of Jesus and know that no matter what life throws at you, you're going to get through it. No matter what it is. There is no loss that you can suffer that would be greater than the comfort that God would offer you. I mean, listen, that's an amazing way to live your life. Because we have God. I mean, that's phenomenal. So Paul goes on to say, if any fellowship with the Spirit, and man, that's how like a group of different people can come together and worship God, is the Spirit of God in all of us. Isn't that incredible? I mean, look around. I mean, raise your hand if you're weird. No, I didn't say point to people. I just said raise your hand. Nobody, yeah, some of you are raising hands for people. You know, but that we could come together and worship God, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? That we can do that. But we can do that because of the fellowship we have with the Spirit. Now listen to what he goes on to say. If any tenderness and compassion. Have you experienced tenderness and compassion? Have you given it? I mean, we love to receive it. I like being on that receiving end, but sometimes it's a little more difficult to muster it up and to give it away to somebody else. But if there's any tenderness, any compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Now, only God can do that. Do you understand that? What the writer is saying here that we ought to exhibit, we can't. We cannot do it. And so God, if He expects this out of us, then the good news is He's going to bring it out. He's going to do that. You and I are not going to be able to accomplish it. And these three things are very significant. He says, be like-minded. I mean, that means you can agree to disagree. Can you agree to disagree? I mean, because I'm telling you, if you're in the church, you got to have some thick skin. Because I always meet people and they got hurt by somebody. Somebody didn't say something to them or somebody did say something to them. Yeah, you know what? Some of you are kind of just hanging on. You're not serving. You're not doing some things you should do because that happened to you. Can I just tell you something very lovingly? Get over it. It's not the last time. It's going to happen again. It may happen today. I was sharing with a group of ministry team members. And I was just joking around with them, and I got done. I said, oh, you guys, I'm just old and fat. And one of the ladies said, oh, you're not old. Well, you know, I could have just never went back to church, and the Lord would have understood it was their fault because they said I was fat. I mean, I said it, but they agreed with it. And, you know, get over it. Get over it. It's going to happen all the time. I can't tell you how many thousands of you have come to me after January and seeing all the stuff and come up and said, man, I never dreamed you could move like that. And I always love to go, really, why? And I had to get over it, you know. And so we got to get over it. You know, because listen, this is the one life you have to live for the glory of God. This is it. So don't whine your way through it. Live it. To the fullest. So be like-minded. It's very, very important that we can agree to disagree. We're not going to agree on everything, but we're like-minded. Together, if you know one thing at this place, you know we exist to connect people to Jesus. And I've only had a couple people complain that there's just too much evangelism at that church. Man, you definitely need to find a new church. All right? Now, here's what I'd say, and after I say this, then let me follow up with you need to get over what I'm about to say. But if you feel that way, you probably need to get saved first, and then, all right, get over it. So anyway, be like-minded. He's sharing these things with having the same love. You know what? There should not be one need within this community that we're not able to meet together. I've heard Pastor Steve say so many times, if this church would just tithe, we wouldn't have to have a building program. We'd just build a building. And you know what else? If this church would just tithe, we wouldn't just dream about taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. We'd just do it. We'd just say, who's going to Africa this week? And people would say, man, I think God wants me to go. Having the same love, being like-minded, those are the kind of things that are accomplished when we work this way. And the third thing he says here is being one in spirit and purpose. These three things work together. And so we have to hear these things from God. We have to live in harmony. We have to love one another. And then this is all coming, you know, to a call to serve. Then he says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit. Have you ever done anything out of selfish ambition? Anybody? Oh, nobody. Well, good. Good. All right. Well, I do quite a bit. And so part of what I have to learn is that God is really called. See, we don't live in a society any longer that believes you have to keep up with the Joneses. Now we believe you got to whoop the Joneses. And like, we don't want to just have the same thing as him. We want to have better than him. You know, I'm driving down the road with my son. He's got four red balloons in the back and he's rolling the window up down. I said, now quit that. And so finally he rolls the window down and three of the balloons go out. The balloons are the exact same. Nothing different about them. And he's crying. I said, what's wrong, buddy? He said, my brothers and sisters' balloons went out the window. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. All right? And because we're all in this together. And so we don't just start by asking ourselves, what would make me happier? Well, you know, have you ever thought that maybe God's not concerned about your happiness? I love hearing Pastor Steve say that. He says it with such force. I just love it because, I mean, I believe that it doesn't matter what makes you happy. And I can't find my happiness in the concordance in the back of the Bible or in any book of the Bible. I heard a guy say once, let's face it, the Bible's not full of stories of Jesus making people happy. It's full of stories of Jesus making people holy. And you know what? Holy is much more difficult than happy. But holy is where God is taking us in this journey of trying to be like Jesus and trying to follow Jesus. So do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. How many of you really do that? Consider others better than yourselves. Our neighbor had lost a son. And we'd just been praying. We'd taken the kids over there several times to see him, just doing some different things like that. One day I'd come home, and my wife was making her signature chicken pot pie, which is just to die for. And the whole time she's making it, we're talking about the neighbor, and we prayed for him there in that moment. And when she gets done, she's putting this thing in like a Tupperware deal and putting a lid on it. I said, what are you doing? She said, it's for him. I said, I think it was a good prayer. But to be thinking about others, and the wanting to do, some of you just get in, that's all right, that's good. And just wanting to do for others. I mean, this is an incredible call to follow Jesus, but I'm going to promise you right now, if you're wanting to follow Jesus without costing any money or any time, I'd follow somebody else. Because you cannot truly follow Jesus and hang on to everything you have. You're going to have to lay some things down. Matter of fact, the Bible says you're going to have to die to yourself. And it didn't just say die to yourself once. It says die to yourself daily. You know why? Because every day my temptations creep back up. And every day I've got to die to myself. You know what the good news? The Bible also says His mercies are new every morning. Not His judgments are new every morning. Because I don't know about you, but I stand in need every morning of His new mercy. That I need that because I had blown it again for a day. So it's very specific. Paul's telling this church in Philippi, he said, listen, you all need to be aware of what's going on around you. Know what's happening. Be willing to meet the needs of the people that are around you. What can you do? How can you meet that need? Well, big clue here. First thing, you've got to know that it's there. Second is a willingness to meet it. And why would you do that? Because you are called to be a child of God. And that is one of the distinguishing marks of walking with Jesus, is you're not like everybody else. One of my favorite things we do, Pastor Steve, Pastor Mark, myself, we'll go to a Waffle House on Christmas Day. Take about $400 and we'll just pay for everybody's meal. And I love it because when we walk in, this great big burly manager says, "All right, everybody, Hillview Heights Church is here. They're going to pay for your meal. Everybody be quiet. They're going to pray." And every year I kind of go thinking somebody's going to be like, "I don't believe in prayer," or something like that. But you know, it's never happened. I don't know if it's the power of a paid-for meal. I don't know if it's the burliness of the big burly manager. But people just, they pray, they bow their heads. And then we just sit at the table. "Hey, how are you all?" And you find out crazy things. So we're sitting there and we're talking to people that, like, their cars spun off the highway. They were able to get a hotel right next to the Waffle House. It's a Waffle House eating. Their funds are getting ready to run out. And we happen to come this day and pay for their meal. And they're sitting there saying, "Do you think this was meant to happen?" And I'm thinking, well, I can't imagine any other life that I'd be at Waffle House on Christmas Day paying for people's lunch. Yeah. I think this was a divine moment. God wants you to know that He loves you and that He cares. Listen, if you follow Jesus, you can't believe where it's going to take you. You can't believe what's going to happen. You can't believe how other people will be impacted because God is so incredible. Here's a good thing. God knows every need. And if you're truly following Jesus, then you're going to be able to see needs as they come up in everyday life with the people that are around you. Paul's telling the church, that's what this is about. So I want to remind you, the very first thing is that we are called to be the children of God. And if we're called to be the children of God, everybody listen, then start acting like it. Start acting like it. And it's going to be costly. And it's not going to go with maybe your plan A, but I want you to know, if it was God's plan Z, it's way better than your plan A. And if you would just trust Him. Listen to what He goes on to say. "Each of you should look not only to your own interest." So you know what? Take care of your stuff. Take care of your affairs. Keep things in order. Look after your own interest. But He says this, "but also to the interest of others." See, if you just want to look like the world, then just look after yourself. Because that's what everybody else is doing, if you haven't noticed. So what makes us different? We look after our interest like everybody else. But then the Bible says, "but also look after the interest of others." To be caring, considerate. Now listen, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. I want to share something with you. And every time I share this, it really upsets people. So I'm going to say this, and if you have any questions, you can just email me at scarborough@hillview.com. But when the Bible says, "who being in very nature God," it's being very specific. That Jesus was not just a man, although He was 100% man. But Jesus was also God, 100% God. And Paul wants this church to understand that who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Now what does that mean? It doesn't mean that Jesus couldn't grasp it. But it means He didn't have to. You see, the cup that had been placed before Him was a cup of suffering and yet a cup of redemption for mankind. And so Jesus didn't have to grasp that. The equality with God wasn't something He had to worry about or ponder about, and He didn't have to grasp it. He didn't have to reach out because He was willing to drink the cup that was that was before Him. And so somebody will always come up and say, "Now I've just got a problem with Jesus being God. Now, I don't believe that." And then what I say very lovingly is, if you don't believe Jesus is God, then you can't be saved. Because if Jesus was just a man, then I could die on the cross and accomplish the same thing, which would be nothing. But because Jesus was God in human flesh, and He went to the cross, that's where the atoning power comes from. It's the only way that your sin and my sin could be forgiven. I want to share that with you. This is important as Paul is sharing this with the church. I want you to understand this. I want you to see that He was the God-man, 100% man and 100% God. And don't miss that. Don't neglect either side of that. It's important that you understand the nature of this person that we call Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, "But He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what Jesus has done. There's a cross and a resurrection, and our sin can be forgiven. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you something. He wants to know you. Now, I've got great news for you. If you felt today like, gosh, I feel like I need to be saved, can I tell you something? You could never reach that thought on your own. It's God who lets you know that you need to be saved. You know how we know that? Because the Bible doesn't say we first loved Him. The Bible says we loved Him because He first loved us. God initiates this. God does this. And so it's profound what Paul is sharing about the cross and the resurrection and what follows after. And remember what it says. In one of our most intimate pictures of Jesus and His disciples, Jesus is wrapped in a loincloth. He has a towel and a basin, and He looked just like what a servant would look like. And He goes to the disciples, He gets on His knees, and He begins to wash their feet. Well, Peter freaks out. Peter says, No. You're the Lord. You're not going to wash my feet. I'll wash yours. And Jesus has to remind him, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and offer His life as a ransom for many. He humbled Himself. He became a servant. They asked Billy Graham one time. They said, Mr. Graham, when you die and you go to heaven, what do you want God to say to you? And Billy Graham says, well, I guess I want God to say what the Bible says He'll say. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You're first called to be a child of God. And then there is a call to serve. You have this card in your bulletin, and maybe your household just takes one bulletin, so you have one card, that's fine. You can write other names on there with yours. Pastor Steve and I, we met Thursday and we just prayed about this morning and talked about what we'd love to see God do today. And you know, it's always dangerous when you say what you'd love to see God do. And because, I mean, God has just blown us away. What God did in January, the people came to know Him, the people professed their faith in baptism. It's just been amazing. What one of the things Pastor Steve and I talked about is we prayed that, who knows, maybe today, maybe God's going to birth new ministries here today. One of the things we prayed for is that we'd receive 2,000 cards today from people. Just saying, I am willing to serve. I think it would surprise you if I told you the number of people that are actually serving out of this congregation. I think it would surprise you to the low side. It reminded me of a story I heard about a priest in medieval times. And the way this priest received payment is people would just line up with jugs of wine and they'd pour it into a vat. And all these people are in line. Well, this one guy gets up one morning and says, man, all those people are bringing a jug of wine. I'm just going to bring water. Nobody will know the difference. So all these people are in line, just hundreds of people pouring these jugs into the vat, and they get done. The rituals to watch the priest fill his chalice and take the first drink. And he does that, fills the chalice, takes the drink, and it's nothing but water. Because everybody thought, well, somebody, you know, it won't matter what I don't do. Nobody will notice. But I want to tell you, I don't want you to be compelled to serve this morning because there are needs. And I'll be honest, there are needs. But I want you to be compelled to serve because of the greatness of God. You know, I told in one of the services, I know that I can never repay God for what He's done for me. And I said, but can I tell you, I'm going to die trying. I'm going to die trying. And so we've all been called to serve. I'm going to ask you to put your name on there, to put your phone number, email if you have it. If you don't have it, that's fine. You can still serve. And then they're going to put something up here on the screen. I just want you to take a look at this. And the top of it says, where does God want you to serve? And can I help you? You may not know today where God wants you to serve. You may read through that list and nothing makes any sense to you or nothing jumps out at you. You don't even have to know where you want to serve. If you do know, that'll help us a little bit. And if you don't know, you're going to get a call from somebody. Because if you turn in this card today, you're just saying, you know what? I know I should be serving, and I'm willing to serve. So if there's something on there, maybe there's a pastor you've connected with, write that pastor's name on the back of the card or at the bottom, and hey, I'd like to be involved in this pastor's ministry, and that'll be great. But I really want to encourage you, we are called to serve. And together, we have the incredible capacity to change the world. I've never been part of a church that has made such an impact on its community. I mean, I venture to say that Bowling Green is a different place because of the people that God has called and their willingness to step up and serve, and a church to say, we're going to be a part of our community. And there's other great churches and they're stepping up, and so that's not what this is about, but we're responsible for what God's given us to do. And I've never seen a church make such an impact on a community. I've never seen a church be so willing to meet needs. And here's what I want to tell you. Don't think like that. I want you to think, wow, think of how God's using us now and how much more He would be willing to use us if people would be obedient. I'm going to tell you, serving God has been the most amazing thing I've done in my life. I can't tell you the people I've sat next to at Waffle House or the people I've met at the laundromat, doing stuff we do at the laundromat, or the people I've met just in the different things that are going on. It's just been amazing. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's such an incredible life. Let me put it to you this way. One of my favorite things at Christmas time is, like, after we've done all of our shopping and maybe we're at the store with the kids, and the kids grab something off the shelf and said, "Oh, Daddy, I've got to have this. I need this." I get such a joy out of saying to that kid, "No. Put it up." You know, and they put it up and they walk away like, "I don't have any toys," you know. And you know why I get joy from that? Because I already know that what is up in the attic or what is in my closet hidden from them is way better than even what they want. And that's God. And He has such a way better life for you than you even want. C.S. Lewis said, you know, the problem with us is not that we're not very easily satisfied. C.S. Lewis said the problem is we're too easily satisfied. Man, we're eating mud pies and God wants to give us a banquet. The life God has for you is unreal. Do you think Steve Bumpus Jr. ever thought that his obedience and being in those waters would impact the life of Steve Bumpus Sr.? You don't even imagine that God would do that, but He's willing to do it. Somebody in your life that you love, if you would just be obedient, you don't know how God would impact their life. Listen. Everybody's going to give their life to something, to some cause. And I plead with you this morning to give your life to Jesus and follow Him. And just know ahead of time, it's going to be costly to follow Jesus. I guarantee it. You won't have as many friends as you normally have if you follow Jesus. You know, in the world's terms, a friendship. It'll cost you some of your time. It'll cost you some of your money, but I want you to know the life that God will give you, nothing will compare with living that life. I want you to fill that card out, and as you leave, as I dismiss you this morning, there'll be baskets at the three exits, and you can just drop it into the basket. Give the pastoral staff, give us a couple weeks to get all that together and where it needs to go, and then you'll start getting contacted. But serve because God is so great. You know, for our altar, there are a lot of you here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I just want you to hear, it's not arrogant to think you're going to heaven or to know you're going to heaven because of Jesus. It's arrogant to think you might get to heaven without Him. And if you're here this morning, He wants to have a relationship with you. I would invite you to come. Remember what I said, if you're feeling like you need to come to the altar and be saved, that's God. Only He can enlighten you to that. And there'll be pastors up here and we'd love to pray with you. Some of you are here and your struggle this morning, you know you're a Christian, but you haven't been baptized. Biblical baptism is baptism after conversion. Some of you have struggled with that. People will tell me, well, I think I'm going to get baptized after I get everything squared away. You know what that means? Then you're never going to get baptized because you're never going to get it all squared away. I met Jesus when I was 16 and I haven't got it all squared away. But guess what I did find out? Every time I'm obedient, God blesses that. Every time. And you know how sometimes God blesses obedience? He helps you square a few things out. It's amazing. Some of you are here in that boat this morning. I invite you to come. You need to be baptized. This, don't fight it. Don't battle it anymore. Just come. We'll pray with you. We'll talk to you about baptism. And then I want you to pray with me. Some of you are just going to come to the altar and say, Lord, I haven't served. And I know that I need to. Give me wisdom, lead me and guide me. Just come to this altar and let's just pray together today. Let's be like-minded and have the same love and be one in spirit and purpose. And let's pray that God just raises up an army of servants who are going to be willing to live this Jesus life the way He's calling us to. Father, we love You. And above all things, Lord, we know we're called to be Your children. And so, Lord, I pray today for folks that are struggling, folks that need to be saved. Lord, may they come. Folks that haven't been biblically baptized, Father, I pray that they would come and just be obedient. God, we pray You'd bless that obedience. And just like we've seen today, Father, that our obedience may impact the lives of the people that we love the most. So, Lord, I pray for this church right now. And I pray for thousands of people that haven't been serving. But I pray that they would get it. And I pray You would birth in them a desire to live this life in just a phenomenal way. To experience things they never experienced. To meet people they never would have met. To be in places they never would have gone. So Lord, here is our lives. We give them to You. Use them for Your glory. We love You, Lord Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.